We head to beautiful downtown Tipton, and area Congressman Tim Walberg joins us.
I'm out in the suburbs of Tipton. I've told you that before.
I know it. I know it.
And I've got the poison ivy to prove it. So,
what's going on?
Well, we just got back from being in Washington a couple of days. Arrived home last night. Glad we were there. This was our first attempt since the Democrats passed the proxy voting provision, which changed the rules of the House to allow people to give their vote to someone else who would act as their proxy and vote on the floor for them. 76 Democrats chose to do that, including three from Michigan. In order to do that, you had to stipulate by signing the proxy agreement that you were choosing to vote by proxy because you physically could not make it to D.C. because of the COVID issue. We know that at least two of them, while they weren't able to make it to D.C., I guess they were able to make it to the launch site for the space flight. So already we've seen an abuse of that proxy proposal. And I think the majority of constituents, while they wouldn't mind us doing something for a short period of time where we would do remote voting if we could do that, yet I think they want to know that their legislator is voting themselves, whether it's remote or whether it's in the chambers of the U.S. House. Even remote, if you look back in history, during wartime, the Civil War itself, Congress still met. After 9/11, Congress still met in session. And if it wasn't there in Washington, then it was another location where they were all together. So it was a bit frustrating to hear the votes being given out. At least a couple members voted for upwards of seven or eight people as their proxy. So that was a bit interesting. The voting process has slowed down significantly as a result of trying to keep us out of harm's way, I guess, in the chambers. So we had seven different segments for each vote we had. And I think we had five or six vote times this week, each of them taking over an hour. But we ended up passing one good bill specifically related to COVID and the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, trying to liberalize that a little bit in the sense of flexibility to be able to allow it to not be a one-size-fits-all. For instance, to enable restaurants that are not open in the state, and we don't know when they will be, to still be able to use the Paycheck Protection Program to keep their payroll on staff ready for the opening whenever our governor decides that she can do that. We'll have the opportunity to use the loan and have a lengthened period of time to pay it back as well as use it. Because right now, it's an eight-week program, and the time is running out.
Right.
And if they were to take it, they'd have people that were on the payroll but doing nothing, and who could be on unemployment insurance and making more. So we passed that legislation, thankfully, and I believe the Senate will pass it soon as well. And it does a number of things in there, but the main issue is it provides more flexibility.
So do you see any indicators, Tim, when you guys will be back in, at least, let's say, fairly normal session?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And that's the challenge. And that's why some of us are pushing the envelope a bit. We have a hearing coming up on Tuesday in the Energy and Commerce Committee, Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. And we've got some governors who will be on a witness panel in front of us, including our own Gretchen Whitmer, looking at how governors have handled the COVID-19 crisis. That's going to be done virtual, but a number of us Republicans will be coming back or on the committee and coming back, and if they don't allow us into the hearing room, we'll set up our computers outside in the hallway, I think primarily to make a point to our leadership, it's time for us to get back. We cannot do this type of work remotely. And I think if we're expecting the so-called essential employees to be back to work and put themselves in challenging situations and healthcare challenging situations, whether it be a cashier at a cash register in a store, or whether they're working as a truck driver or a delivery person, mail person, or certainly the hospital personnel, doctors and nurses, attendants, if they're back, then a constitutional government ought to be back as well and charting the way, and we can do it safely. And yet, right now, we're being told we probably won't be back for a vote on the floor of the House all during the month of June. We'll be doing virtual hearings and committee meetings, which we have had a couple run-throughs already, and they would have worked very well for a Saturday Night Live skit. It had us all. It was bipartisan laughing going on because technology and trying to work as we normally would work, where we could have feedback, you could interrupt, you could ask for your colleague to yield for a statement to be made. How we do that is almost impossible. Raising hands by pressing a button and seeing that that doesn't work instantaneously and all of the rest is quite a challenge. So I feel for our governors that will be in front of us this next week and how they're going to look at what a congressional committee does in trying to run virtual. But that's what we're going to be doing. And then supposedly coming back in July and working all through July in Washington in a restricted way with proxy votes and the like going on. It's not the best way to get things done.
Tim, how have you found travel?
I've had no trouble with it, though there are very limited flights. So last night, the only flight that I could take after voting period was a 5:48 flight. If didn't get that, I would have taken a flight this morning at 6 in the morning to get back here. Coming in, have opportunity, I think, for an early morning flight next Tuesday when I fly back, or a 3:40 flight in the afternoon, which wouldn't work, to be there for committee meetings. So it is a bit of a challenge, but the airline, Delta in my case, has done amazing, amazing effort to make sure that the flights are sanitized. You can smell the sanitizer when you get on the plane. You can see the care taken by the flight attendants to make sure how we're loaded. And there are none of us seated directly next to someone else. Mm-hmm. There's at least a seat in between us or an aisleway in between us. And we're all required to wear masks. And that's the service or drink service as normal. They give us handy little bags with a small bottle of water and cookies and crackers in it and a disinfectant wipe. So you wipe anything you want to wipe down. And so they're working hard. And I'm hoping that we begin to see that industry come back because we need it. And hopefully not too distant future, we'll see it expand nationally and internationally as well.
That's going to be a tough comeback, isn't it?
It's going to be a very tough comeback because we put a lot of fear into people. And certainly there should be a healthy respect to put into people's minds because this is a pandemic. This is a disease unlike what we've seen. It isn't the flu. Very clearly, it isn't the flu. But I think on the other side of the scale, this country does not work without being free and open. And so I think we need to hitch up our britches, as my father used to say, put the brave foot forward and get out and do our best, taking care of others as well as ourselves, but get back to normal at the very least and move forward, or else this country doesn't make it. I tell people right now, you're getting a living object lesson, an experiment of collectivism in this country. Collectivism in that the government tells you what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it. And you're all expected to be the same. That is not a comfortable setting. And it concerns me, I'll be honest with you, Greg, it concerns me to see how quickly and how long Americans and Michiganians have acquiesced to having the government and a small part of that government tell us what to do.
Well, I think the disease has some say there.
The disease has some say, but we've gone through diseases before. We've gone through tremendously negative times. We've gone through wars. And ultimately, we've hitched up our britches and got going. And I think we can do that. I think we've shown it. You know, why? Why are the big box stores full of people, the parking lots full, people going in and out of it? Most, at least what I've seen, most are wearing masks. Some aren't. But we're going in, we're rubbing shoulders, and yet you can't allow a barber shop to be open or a beauty parlor to be open when they can easily do it by reservation and appointments. And you have dentist offices open now, which is great. But I think a person laying backwards with their mouth wide open breathing is far more dangerous to that individual or the staff there than in a barber shop, or why you can have adult novelty shops open and a jewelry store down the street where generally there won't be more than 10 people in that building anyway,
right,
isn't open.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an arbitrary issue, and I don't get it. And then when I look at this state and other states that are asking the federal government to send more money when they're not opening their own economies and expecting states that have opened their economies to pay for the lack of effort on other states. And when I get letters from teachers now concerned about the next school year not having the resources, and seeing administrators now in one school in my district that have taken mandatory pay cuts for a period of time to try to set in place savings so that the deficit isn't as much as it could be come September as they open up again. And yet, we've shut the state down, so there are fewer people traveling. So the gas tax, sales tax coming from that, and other sales taxes that fund our schools aren't increasing. They've been held back. The bridge and road repair isn't going to have the money in it because the fuel taxes aren't being paid. The economy is shut down. And then we're going to ask the federal government to bail us out. I think there's going to be a heavy reckoning coming of the federal government saying, no, wait a second. States, governors, you have the responsibility. Some have taken it. We've seen states like Georgia thus far and Florida not having significant problems. In fact, Florida with more seniors have less overall deaths than Michigan. But they didn't put COVID-19 seniors back in nursing homes like we did. And so I think there are some things that that our states are going to have to answer to, and really going to have to be honest with our people as to why we're going to have some significant financial shortfalls. And it's not going to be pretty. And when the governor of our state is in front of our committee this next week, those are some questions I'll be asking of her.
Harry, Congressman Tim Walberg. That'll be interesting, and you'll be out in the hallway?
Well, I hope we'll be in the conference in the committee room, but if not, yeah, there'll be a number of us Republicans sitting on metal chairs out in the main entrance to the Rayburn House office wing, which is where our committee room, Energy and Commerce, which is the oldest standing committee in all of Congress and the most powerful committee, and we'll be sitting with our laptops on our knees, I guess, going through this virtual display.
Tim, appreciate the visit from the suburbs of Tipton.
The beautiful suburbs, the Irish Hills of Tipton-Onsted area, and Gateway to Jackson County and Michigan National Speedway. And boy, we're sure hoping that things can open up so we'll have an August series of races there at that speedway. Stop and think about the type of revenue that brings in for the local shops in Brooklyn and surroundings. Sure. It's amazing. So, well, I could get talking more, but thanks for the time, and you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tim. Take care.